This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We praise Allah, we thank Allah, for He is the one most entitled of our praise and our gratitude. We ask Allah to guide us. We ask Allah to forgive us. We ask Allah to protect us. We bear witness that there is absolutely no one worthy to be worshipped except Him alone. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger. Allah commands us in the Quran to have taqwa of Him, to protect ourselves from the punishment of Allah, to protect ourselves from doing anything that displeases Allah. And the way we do that is by obeying Him in that which He commanded and abstaining from that which He prohibited. That is taqwa. During our last Jumu'ah together, we spent some time talking about understanding the idea of loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loving our messenger. Why do we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And why is that important? And hopefully that set the stage for many more conversations that we can have, insha'Allah ta'ala. And of them is what I would like to share with you all today, which revolves around the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The huquq, the rights, the obligations that we have towards the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anybody that's important to you, anyone that you love and you respect and revere, you will treat them in a certain way. You will behave towards them in a particular manner. You will be very careful about that which they say. You will be very careful about how you act in response to that which they are telling you to do. And all of those basic human interactions apply to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. After we have understood that it's important for us to have this attachment to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let us then go to the next step. What is our obligation towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And what's interesting is the scholars of Islam throughout the centuries spoke about this topic extensively and published many great works detailing just this one topic. حقوق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على أمته. The rights that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم deserves and that we owe him as part of his ummah, as part of his community and those who claim to be his followers, alayhi salatu wasalam. So let us mention a few of those and begin to implement them and put them into practice so we can be truthful in our allegiance and our attachment to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first of which is very simple and very foundational, and that is حَقِيقَةُ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ. To genuinely have faith and conviction in the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as him fulfilling that role. being sent as a messenger from Allah, with revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent as a mercy to all creation, as a guide and as a means for us to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to live our life in the best manner possible, and to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. There must be complete and full iman, belief and conviction that this individual, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, fulfills this role. And this first foundational right of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam begins first and foremost in our mindset, in our heart, in our attitude towards him and understanding who he is. But by the way, no claim, there can be no claim in correct, truthful belief in Allah if it is not also accompanied by belief in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the messenger of Allah. The two go absolutely hand in hand and cannot be separated. There can be no claim to accepting and believing in previous prophets and messengers with the exception and leaving out Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just as the opposite is also not acceptable either. No one can come and say, well, I believe in Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but not the previous messengers. That is an incomplete faith and an unacceptable claim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran gave us clear and direct proof for this understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we took a covenant, a promise, an oath, a contractual agreement with النبيين, all of the messengers, regarding the belief in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ, that you believe in the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّ, and that you defend him and abide by his teachings. And the Prophet, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the messengers, do you agree? قَالَ أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ إِصْرِي. قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا. They all agreed to this agreement. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in some narrations that if Musa or if one of the previous messengers had been alive at my time, there would have been no other option for him except to be a believer and a follower of Muhammad ﷺ. Something interesting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he tells us about previous messengers in the Quran whose people rejected their message, the wording of the Qur'an is very, very interesting. When Allah talks about the people of Nuh, Allah says, كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ نُوحًا. No. كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ جَمْعَ. Allah says, the people of Nuh disbelieved and rejected the messengers, plural. But we know absolutely that the people of Nuh only received Nuh as a messenger. That was their only prophet and messenger that Allah sent them. Allah says about the people of Lut, كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ لُوطٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The people of Lut disbelieved and rejected the messengers, plural. Allah tells us about the people of Thamud, their Nabi, their messenger was Salih. Allah tells us they rejected al-mursaleen, the messengers. We find this mentioned time and time again in the Quran. And this is clear proof that rejection of one messenger is tantamount to rejecting all of them, because they are a succession and they all came with the same message from the same source, our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there can be no iman in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an exclusive messenger without all of the others, and the vice versa. There can be no belief in Allah or in the previous messengers leaving out Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What does it mean to have genuine faith and conviction in the messenger of Allah having that role? The scholars, they defined it for us in a very beautiful way and easy to remember. They said, شَهَادَةُ اللِّسَانِ بِنُبُوَّتِهِ. الْإِيمَانُ بِهِ شَهَادَةُ اللِّسَانِ بِنُبُوَّتِهِ. وَتَصْدِيقُ الْجِنَانِ بِرِسَالَتِهِ. وَتَصْدِيقُ الْجِنَانِ بِرِسَالَتِهِ. والتزام الجوارح بأوامره واتباع سنته. They said it begins with a testimony, a statement, a definitive statement that Muhammad ﷺ is a Nabi, is a prophet of Allah. And then it goes further that there is inner conviction in his message. We cannot believe in the Messenger of Allah being a prophet, but then when it comes to us receiving his message and his guidelines and his commandments, then there is some doubt regarding that. And step three, after there is a statement and there is an internal conviction, then there are actions with the limbs that are in agreement with that testimony and that conviction. Amal, there are actions that are in obedience to that which he commanded. So the first one is haqiqatul imani bihi, to truly and genuinely have conviction in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a messenger. That is his right upon us. لَتُؤْمِنُ النَّبِي. That's number one. Number two is طَاعَتُهُ فِيمَا أَمَرْ. Obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with that which he commanded. Obedience, full obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that which he commanded us to do. And that also includes the prohibitions. Obedience to the Messenger of Allah in staying away from that which he prohibited. And there are dozens of verses in the Quran. I don't want to overwhelm you. There are dozens of verses in the Quran. وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. If you obey the Messenger of Allah, Allah says, you will be guided. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. And this is mentioned so many times throughout the Quran. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a beautiful hadith in which he said, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. He said, everyone from my ummah will enter Jannah. Alhamdulillah. Feels so nice. Kullu ummati, everyone in my ummah will enter Jannah. Illa, except who? I don't want to be amongst them. Except who? Except those who refuse to enter. Except those who refuse. Here is Jannah, go ahead. No, I refuse. No, thank you. How does that make sense? How could someone be offered an entrance into Jannah, but they voluntarily say, you know what? No thanks. Because in the hereafter, there is only Jannah or Jahannam. If you're not in Jannah, you're in the hellfire. May Allah protect us all. Everyone from my ummah, the Messenger says, will enter Jannah except those who refuse. قَالُوا وَمَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. The companions were bewildered. Who could possibly refuse? The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. He who obeys me will enter Jannah. Done deal. That's a promise from Allah and His Messenger. And the one who disobeys me, well, that basically means they refused. Because that's a choice, to obey the Messenger or not. That's a choice you and I make. If we choose to disobey the Messenger, essentially, in essence, we are choosing to not go to Jannah. مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. There is a hadith in Bukhari narrated by the companion Jabir, رضي الله عنه, that informs us of a beautiful event that happened when the Prophet ﷺ was laying down, sleeping. فَدَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ جَمَاعَةٌ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. A group of angels entered upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَجَلَسُوا عِنْدَ رَأْسِهِ. And they sat by his head as he is sleeping. And the angels began conversing with one another beside the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And they said, there is a beautiful method, there is a beautiful metaphor and example for this man. So they asked one another, what is this example? They said The parable is مثل رجل بنى دارا وجعل في الدار مأدبة وبعث مناد ينادي في الناس فمن أجاب الداعي دخل الدار وأكل من المأدبة. They said the example is someone who built a house and there is food prepared very nicely in that house, and a messenger is sent out to invite everyone to come inside the house and eat from this food. So whoever responds to this invitation, they will enter the house and they will eat. So the angels said to one another, أَوِّلُوا لَهُ. Explain this metaphor. Explain it to him. حَتَّى يَفْقَهُ. So that he would understand this metaphor, the Messenger of Allah. So they said, the explanation, that house is Jannah. The example of that house is Jannah. The most beautiful place that we can't even imagine. No eye has looked upon. No ear has heard the sounds that come from it. No nose has smelled the beautiful smells of Jannah. Allah has prepared it for the believers to dwell therein for eternity. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. That house is like Jannah. And that which is prepared in the house is the message that Allah has sent. And that messenger that is calling you inside is Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if you respond to his invitation, you will enter into that house, you will eat there, and you will enjoy your time. But if you are invited to come in and you say, no thank you, you're not going inside and you're not going to enjoy that which is prepared in there. مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. So that's number two. Obeying the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Number three, and we'll conclude here so it becomes easy for you to digest. And there will be more to come inshallah ta'ala on this topic. Number three, تَصْدِيقُهُ فِيمَا أَخْبَرَ عَنْ رَبِّهِ. To believe the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in that which he came and informed us about on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, the messenger is coming with a message from who? From Allah. No messenger ever made up anything from themselves. I'm reminded of the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr. This companion, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he said, كُنْتُ أَكْتُبُ عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, I used to write down everything that I heard from the Messenger of Allah. حتى نهتني قريش عن ذلك. Until my people, the people of Quraysh, who many of them were disbelievers and who were opponents of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they reprimanded me and they told me, you know, why are you doing this? The Messenger of Allah, some days he's happy, some days he's angry. You can't record everything that he says. So when this reached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he asked me about the situation, and I told him that I used to write everything and then I stopped because of what's being said to me, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Uktub, write it down. فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. I swear by the one in whose hand is control over my soul and my life. The Prophet of Allah swears by Allah. مَا خَرَجَ مِنِّي وَأَشَارَ إِلَى فِمِهِ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ إِلَّا حَقَّ. There isn't a single thing that came out of this mouth, and he pointed to his mouth, the Messenger of Allah, except that it was true. And what's amazing is his worst enemies testified to his truthfulness. Somebody can come and say, well, all of you already like Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so of course you're going to say everything he said is true. His worst enemies and the people that knew him from childhood, it's one thing to meet someone later on, it's another thing to know them since they were a child, testified that he was the most truthful person. And greater and beyond and above all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testified to the truthfulness of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Many times in our culture today, and in our methods of studying and learning and the systems of education that we have gone through, we've been taught to be extremely skeptical. And there is good in that, and there is bad in that as well. There is good in that, and there is bad in that as well. The problem is, many times we devote a lot of that skepticism and that energy towards statements of the Prophet ﷺ, and we don't devote that same level of skepticism to statements of average human beings who do not have the standing or the reputation or the accomplishments of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is unfair, and that is academically dishonest. If we want to be truly academically skeptical for the purpose of seeking truth and validating that, that's fine. But it must be with the right intention, and it must be done so in a manner that is respectful and truly seeking the truth, not trying to follow some fashionable cultural behavior that is simply interested in stripping the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of his authority. That's not true skepticism. That's called picking and choosing. That's called picking and choosing, and that's unfair. تَصْدِيقُهُ فِيمَا أَخْبَرَ عَنْ رَبِّهِ. We are expected to believe the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, be rest assured that there is an entire subject of study that a person could spend more than a lifetime exhausting their time and their energy in the subject of ulum al-hadith, in the subject of verifying and understanding and following the transmission of the statements of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, putting them into historical context, comparing them to one another. This is a huge ocean of study. We are expected to appreciate that knowledge and that effort and that study. It was not done in vain. It was done to facilitate for us the ability to obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, follow him, believe him in that which he said, and give him his due rights. Famous Arabic poet once said, since we talked last time about loving the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's a topic that many people enjoy, a famous poet, he once said, تُعْصِي الْإِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تُظْهِرُ حُبَّهُ هَذَا لَعَمْرِي فِي الْقِيَاسِ بَدِيعُ لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتُهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. He said, it doesn't make sense to me that someone claims to love Allah, but yet they are disobeying him. He said, I don't get that kind of analogy. That's some next level behavior logic that doesn't make any sense. He said, if you were really truthful in that emotion and that attachment of love, well, the law of life is that the one who loves another is obedient towards them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to believe him, to have full iman and conviction in him as our messenger, to obey the Messenger of Allah and to follow his example. أَقُولُ قُلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Repent to Allah, for he is the most forgiving, most merciful. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صل وسلم وأنعم وأكرم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We have begun a discussion about حقوق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the rights of the Messenger of Allah upon us. After we have understood and affirmed and internalized the importance of loving the Messenger of Allah and why it's essential for our success and our health, not only in this life, but in the hereafter. Now we turn to our attention towards what do we owe the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What are his rights upon us? We owe love to speak against oppression, and everyone hates oppression. It's very ugly. By definition, oppression is to take away someone else's rights, or to not deliver to them the rights that they are deserving of. So let us not wrong ourselves. Let us not wrong our messenger, and let us give him his rights. Let us deliver to the messenger that which he deserves from us. Before we conclude, keep in mind a few important announcements. First of which is that the times for Salatul Fajr and Asr will be changing this Sunday. Fajr will be at 5:45 and Asr will be at 3:30. Inshallah ta'ala, tonight we have our Family Friday program, and we will be continuing part two of our year-long series on Ash-Shama'il, the description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we really want to follow the Messenger of Allah, maybe we can begin by understanding who he was, how he carried himself, and what was his demeanor. And so we will have part two of that discussion tonight, inshallah ta'ala, after Isha. That begins at 7:30. Isha is at 7:30. Every Wednesday night, there is a class here at the masjid. You might know about it, so this would be a good reminder, or you might not know. So be informed. Every Wednesday night, there is a class on Jurisprudence 101 taught by Sheikh Muhammad Faqih and Sheikh Jamil Besada, an introduction to understanding Islamic jurisprudence and law. And that is at 7 p.m. every Wednesday night here in the masjid. We've mentioned before, and you should be reminded again, that the masjid will be having a Umrah group during the spring break with Sheikh Mustafa Umar, Sheikh Ahmed Billu, and Sheikh Jamil Besada. And there are limited number of seats, so you are encouraged to get more information about that and participate, inshallah ta'ala. And finally, last but absolutely not least, there is a very important announcement, and it's pertinent to today, and that is that the masjid is sponsoring a very noble charitable project, and that is to gather certain services and items and distribute it upon the homeless community right here in our neighborhood. And so the masjid will be collecting donations, and there are certain conditions, certain items that are requested. And then part two will be actually distributing that and serving the homeless population. You would really have to not be paying attention to notice the growing number of homelessness in this very community of ours, in our neighborhood right here, in our zip code. And I remember just from a few years ago till today, the population has drastically, exponentially increased. And anybody who's driven up and down the 57, you would have seen all of the different encampments that had to have been erected. And so this is a condition that's growing. Obviously, there are many reasons behind it. The idea is we are expected to be a community that makes a positive impact where we are. And if all we can do is just come together and share nice words, well, that's nice, but that's all it is. It's just nice, and it ends there. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to be people of service. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to be people who care and are concerned about the well-being of others. And so please be passionate about this project and all other similar projects. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that sadaqah, that charitable acts, put out the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like water puts out fire. So please get more information about this project and other charitable projects that you will hear about in the lobby. There are representatives of other projects that are here coming to inform us about how to be of service to the creation of Allah. Give them your time and your attention. Share with them from your resources. And let us work together, inshallah ta'ala, to have a positive impact in our community and in other communities, in other places around the world. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه وآلائه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر الله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة